Okay, so yesterday we started Kuftzai Niches, but really just by giving a little bit of the background to Chatzitza and a little bit of the lumdus of Chatzitza versus whether Chatzitza is a lack of Bias Mayim entirely. It's like a lack of a Tevila, or it's just a Tevila, but that's low also a Tevila, and potential ramifications of that, nafkaminas of that, indications one way or the other. So today we're going to start getting into some of the halachos. So let's start assessing the different types of Chatzitzos that exist. So there's chatzitzos that are chatzitzos midaraisa, and there are chatzitzos that are chatzitzos midarabanan. So it should be noted that the entire discussion of chatzitza assumes that there's full bias mayim, right, of the body into the water. And the question is only about chatzitza as far as that's concerned. But if a woman goes to the mikveh and leaves a pinky above the surface of the water, well, even though that may be a miut, and it could be a tiny, you know, so it's a miut amak, but obviously she's probably makbid to keep her her fingertip, but you know, but it's only a mirror of her body. Nevertheless, that would passel the tevila mido raisa, because that's not a tevila. That's a lack of a bias mayim. You do need to have a bias mayim, even you know, outside. Only once you have a bias mayim can you then have a discussion of chatzitza. I remember when we were learning kiddushin and Rav Shechter shir, and we discussed the sugya of kol rei lebilei bilma kevespo. So Rav Shechter mentioned that someone, he was at a rabbinic conference, I think it was, and someone quoted Rav Avadia Yosef as saying that if a woman has a cast and she's not able to get it wet, that she could just leave her arm out of the mikveh and be tovah like that. And he said, but Rav Avadia didn't say that, because Rav Avadia knows how to learn. I remember that expression. So, meaning it's like such an obvious amaratzus that that obviously you don't have a you don't that if you don't have a bias mayim, then there's nothing to talk about. It's only when the whole body's in the water, then you could start discussing the dinim of chatzitza. So that's the premise over here. Now, if the only chatzitza midoraisa, as we already mentioned yesterday, is when it's rubo umakbid. On the surface, it seems that we never really have that, right? Meaning we never have such a case of rubo makbid. We'll dig a little deeper. We'll see that maybe we do, according to some rishonim, because rove may not mean what we think rove means. It may not mean the majority of the body. So it might mean majority of something else. The different possibilities of what that something else is. But it is possible that we do have such a concept of rubo umakbid even bismanazeh. But on the surface, on the simplest level, it seems like that just never ever happens. Now there are two types of chatzitza midrabanan, as we discussed yesterday. One type is miut hamakbid, which is the most common type, the one that's most likely to happen when you have something on a small portion of the body, but it's something that one is makbid about. And the other is rubo she'eno makbid, which is a very unlikely thing to happen. What are the chances that you have something that covers the majority of the body that a woman's not makbid about, especially when you define makbid as something that you're ever makbid about, that you would ever not want there, or that most people are makbid about. So Achronim asks the following kasha. This is a Sholem Meshiv from Matur Kama Chelik Beis, discusses the following. He says, what about, how could you ever have a rubo she'eno makbid that's only a psul midrabanan in the Tevila? He says, once the Rabbanan make a din that a rubo she'eno makbid is a chatzitza midrabanan, so then mimeli you're makbid about it, because you know that it's going to be a chatzitza midrabanan. And if you're makbid about it, it becomes a rubo amakbid, so then it becomes a chatzitza midaraisa. So he says, practically, once the rabbanan were gozer on a rubo she'eno makbid, every rubo she'eno makbid becomes a rubo hamakbid, because you can be makbid on account of the fact that it's a chatzitza midrabanan. So that creates a hakpada. You're not going to want it there because it's a chatzitza. So Sholem Meshiv actually seems to suggest this. Clearly, I don't know, it seems like it's not really such a kasha, because makbid l'chora is defined as makbid absent the tevila, meaning what you would care about, leaving aside tevila considerations. What would you normally be concerned about having this item on your body? Is this something that you would ever want off your body if you were not living in a halachic reality? You were living in some alternate universe where there was no halach. It's just something about am I makbid about it? Similar, I think, to the way we discuss psuk reshe denichale versus psuk reshe delonichale. Right? One leaves the light on in the refrigerator. So they want to open the refrigerator on Shabbos and say it's a psik reshei de lo michle. What do you mean lo michle? You could see everything much better when the light is on the refrigerator. Yeah, but you think I want to be a mechal Shabbos? You think I want to be turning on lights on Shabbos? So it's lo michle that a light is going to turn on Shabbos. So middle it's a psik reshei lo michle. So Shlomo Zalman says that is absurd, right? We do not assume that that's the definition of nichle lo nichle. Nichle lo nichle is defined as, Rosh Hashanah writes in the Michel Shlomo, is defined as leaving aside your Hilchos Shabbos considerations, right? So would this be nichle or not? So l'chara, the same is true when it comes to makbid. Makbid would mean leaving aside whether this is good for your tevila, not good for your tevila. Is this something you would normally be makbid about? That I thought was the pashtus. I saw though that Rav Vosner connects this discussion to Tosfos and Sukkah Daf Gimel, the famous discussion in Tosfos in Masechta Sukkah, where Tosfos discusses the Gemara has an expression that in Keno Sisa lo kiyamta mitzvah Sukkah miyamechya machlokes beis Shammai beis Hillel, whether you can sit with Rosh of Ruba b'sukkaso b'shulchano b'tel chabayis. On the Doraisa level, that for sure works. If you have a giant sukkah, and you're sitting in the sukkah, but your shulchan is in your house. So the chashash is, shemi yamashay chachar shulchanu, that you might end up where your shulchan is. And that's a concern midrabanan. So the Gemara says that they saw people sitting in a Rosh HaRubah Sukkos, Rosh HaRubah Sukkabayis, and they said, afim amrulo, im kena sisa, that if you've done like this, then lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, then you've never been mekayim in the mitzvah of sukkah. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean you've never been mekayim in the mitzvah of sukkah? On a daraisa level, you're fine. On a daraisa level, you're for sure mekayim in the mitzvah of sukkah. It's only midrabbanan that you're not mekayim in the mitzvah of sukkah. So Tosfos says, no, but when the rabbanan tell you how to do a mitzvah daraisa, then the rabbanan have the right to make it that you lose your kiyum daraisa. That even when the Rabbanan tell you that this is the right way to do a mitzvah d'oraisa, and the Rabbanan modify it, and put extra restrictions on, and put extra details into how to best perform the mitzvah d'oraisa, if you don't do it the way the Rabbanan told you to do it, you're not even mekayim the mitzvah mid'oraisa. And Chas Chinuch discusses this in the context of Kiddush on Friday night, that the Gemara in 10th Parakh of Pesachim says that you need to be maskir yitzias mitzrayim in Kiddush. So what if you just say Shabbat HaTova, like Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kiddush, right? You say, not that that's how Rabbi Kiva Eger made Kiddush, but then you do Yotzei Midaraisa. So you say something like that. So you didn't mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it says Minchas Chinuch, that's the answer to the Dalgum Ruf Abbas Kasha, the famous Dalgum Ruf Abbas Kasha, that the idea that you say Good Shabbos, or that you daven Shmon Esrei, you're not Mekayim Kiddush Midaraisa with that, because once the Rabbanan said that you need to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush, you're only Mekayim the Mitzvah Daraisa of Kiddush when you actually mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Rabbanan have the right to take away your mitzvah mida oraisa. So that is Tosfos and Sukkah. So Rav Vosner wants the taina that the same is true over here. That if the Rabbanan said that this is no longer that this is not a kashra tevila, that a rubo sheina makbid is not a kashra tevila, mimela it's not a kashra tevila mida oraisa either. But lechor it's got nothing to do with that sholem meishiv. Meaning it's not about the fact that that because the Rabbanan said it's not kosher, now it becomes makbid. That Tosfos would just be, if you're going to apply that Tosfos over here, then you would just simply say that if it doesn't work with the Rabbanan, even if it's a mir hamakbid, right? You know, if it doesn't work with the Rabbanan, it doesn't work with the Oraisa. Because whenever the Rabbanan say, this is how tevila is done, and you don't do it this way, so then you didn't do it, even on a Doraisa level, that the Rabbanan are given that kind of power over a mitzvah d'oraisa. I remember when we were learning sukkah in the yeshiva, and I was in Rosh Hashanah for sukkah. So the first day of the year, I've told the story in the past, I was in the Beis Medrash, and Rav Hirsch came over to me, and he said, "You're Rosh Hashanah?" I said, "Yeah." And I was a little scared. And he said, "No, did he do Taisus and Daf Gimel?" I said, "Uh-huh." And he said, "No, who's Chaylik?" So I was like, I don't even remember my name right now. I'm so terrified, I couldn't tell you. So he said, the Ron is Chaylik. So I always remember. So who's Chaylik that tells us on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph? So the Ron disagrees. The Ron holds that you're not Mekayim, that when the Rabbanan tell you how to do a mitzvah d'oraisa, In kein asiso lo kiamta mitzvah sukum yamecha means lo kiamta mitzvah kitikuna the hidura. You haven't been mekayim the mitzvah in the best possible way, but the Rabbanon don't have the power to take away a kiyum daraisa. If from a daraisa perspective you did the mitzvah, the Rabbanon can't say that you didn't do the mitzvah. So if Vasra points out that the Ran does disagree with the Tosfos, but I'm not sure that the whole thing relates over here. Over there we're talking about performing a mitzvah in a way that the Rabbanon say is not good. Like, let's say the Rabbanon were to tell you that you're not supposed to say Kriyas Shalavis after Chatzos because they're afraid you're going to say it. So then it could be, Rabbi Yonah, the end of Brachos, it could be that if you say Kriyas after Chatzos, then you're not even Mekayim the Mitzvah Midor Raisa. Meaning, or the Rabbanon tell you how to do the Mitzvah of Kiddush. The Rabbanon tell you how to do the Mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon, that you should mention Bnei Yerushalayim, and you should mention other things in your Birchas HaMazon. So when you just say Brich Rachmana Dahai Pita, right, the very, very, very abridged version of Birchas HaMazon, that, what was it, Binyamin Raya? What was it, the guy in Mesachus Brachos, they used to say such an abridged version. So it could be that you're not Mekayim the mitzvah if you didn't do it in that way. But over here, we're not talking about that. Over here, we're talking about whether the Rabbanon say that a chatzitza is a problem, whether that automatically makes it makbid on a daraisa level. And luchara not. The definition of makbid is not when the hakpada is about the halacha of chatzitza, but when the hakpada is about the general presence of that chatzitza. Just agav, once we bring up that discussion in the Ran and Tosfos, this is one of the well-known comments of the, I don't know how well-known, but somewhat well-known comments of the Kava de Kashyasa. The Kava de Kashyasa is, of course, the author of the Chelkas Yoav, Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. Some would argue the Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer had a number of very prominent Talmudim, but very few more prominent than the Chelkas Yoav. He had the Kashuk Lavra was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, that regards to Firmer, and his son, the Shem Shmuel, was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, and what was his name, Rav Michal from Baltimore. I forgot his name already. It was the Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. And he covered the Kashyasa in his Chelkas Yoav, in the Tshuvas Chelkas Yoav. At the end of the Tshuvas, he published a few pages of 103 questions that he has in learning. And the only thing the 103 questions have in common is that he doesn't have an answer to any of them. That's the so he called the cover the Kashyasa Kuf Beis Aleph is Gematria 103. So even though the Gemara, when he uses the term cover the Kashyasa, means a Kav of Kash, a kav of straw, but he used it as a play on words that it's kava, kuf beis aleph, 103 gematria, the kushyasa of kashas that he has. So in kasha 99, he says, you know, I've seen a davar tamua in Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger holds that if, let's say, you have a person who decides that he's Rosh Hashanah's chal on Shabbos, person decides he's going to blow shofar on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiva Eger holds that if you do that, you're mekayim the mitzvah b'diavad, even though it's against the din. You're not allowed to do that. We have gzeira shami yavren adal on the Rosh Hashanah, and they're going to carry you for on the Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the Rabbanan said, we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. But if you do, you're mekayim the mitzvah, says Rabbi Kiva Eger. This became very relevant when, what was his name? I just gave a shir about him. Yes, when Rabbi Kiva Yosef Schlesinger started to be when he had the idea that in the old city they could make a makom sheish for beis din, that they're able to blow shofar on Shabbos again. So he had this idea to do it. It's a question whether he actually did it, but a number of the other gedolim at the time were questioning, okay, he's going to do it because he paskins that you're supposed to do it. Shaila, should we go? Meaning, should we go and listen to the shofar when he's doing it? Because we hold you're not allowed to do it. We hold it's a violation of the gzeira mit rabbanan. We're not going to do it. He's going to do it. He's doing it anyway, whether he does it, whether we tell him to do it or not. He's going to do it anyway. So maybe it's kedai to go because we'll still be mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa by hearing the tkiyah shofar. So that was the shaila. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, you're yotze. That you're yotze, you're mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa, even if you violated an isser doing it. So says the kavod de kashyasa, avol ma'od lepela al gon kamoso, sheyomar dover kazeh. He says, what a pella that Reb Kiv Eiger, who he knows how to learn, and yet he says such a thing. He says, of course, according to Tosfos, Reb Kiv Eiger is wrong. Because Tosfos says, anytime you don't do a mitzvah d'oraisa the way the Rabbanan told you to do it, you're not even mekayim on a d'oraisa level. So for sure, Tosfos is going to say that if you blow a shofar on Shabbos, you're not doing the way the Rabbanan told you to do it, you're not mekayim on a d'oraisa level. Even the Ran in the end of Pesachim, in the Mishnah of Gamliel, what's the Mishnah of Gamliel in the end of Pesachim? Kol Shalom Shalosh Shmarim Lo Yotzi Nechavas of Pesach, right? Pesach Matz of Marar. So what happens? Lo Yotzi Nechavas of what? So the Ran discusses, what if you do Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim and you didn't mention Pesach Matz of Marar? So you didn't do it the way Rav Gamliel said you're supposed to do it, but you did it the way the Torah said you're supposed to do it. Are you really not mekayim the mitzvah at all? No, maybe you are mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa. You're just not mekayim the mitzvah the way the Rabbanon want you to do the mitzvah. Aval heicha depatru chachamim legamri min mitzvah vaday nekar mitzvah mikol v'kol. He says, even according to the Ran, when the Rabbanon modify a mitzvah, they say, okay, you're going to say Kiddush on Friday night, make sure you say Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Kiddush. You're going to bench, make sure you mention certain themes, the Aretz and the whatever in Yerushalayim. Make sure you mention certain themes in the benching. You know, but when the Rabbanan didn't just do that, or you're going to sit in Sukkah, make sure that your table's in the Sukkah with you. But when the Rabbanan didn't just do that, but what the Rabbanan actually did is they said, you know this mitzvah? Don't do it. Just ignore it. Forget this mitzvah. So then the Rabbanan actually okered the mitzvah entirely. And in such a case, even the Ran would agree that you're not mekayim anything. That if we paskin that sadin is potter from tzitzis, so then it's potter entirely. You have a beggar of dal kanfus made out of linen. It's pater legamri, because you were concerned that people might put wool strings absent tcheles. And if you make a bracha on such tzitzis, it's a bracha levatala. Ulekach kasav Rabbeinu Yonah Reish bracha stein lechayv likros klal achatzos after sham leka yisur rak mitama shasi v'amzabzad yishkoch miyachom lakar hamitzvah b'shevi al tase. And he says, and that for that reason, if the chacham tell you not to say kriya shmei after chatzos, don't say kriya shmei after chatzos. Don't say, okay, so I missed the mitzvah midrabban, but I still get the mitzvah d'oraisa. No, it's gone. It's over. There's no mitzvah anymore. And he goes on to elaborate a little bit more. But that's just an important ha'ara, the Kavod Kashyasa, the Kashas of Rebbe Kiv Eiger. And as I think we mentioned in the past, every time I quote a Kavod Kashyasa, it's always important to know that there's a whole industry of Svarim written to answer all the Kashas of the Kavod Kashyasa, which is like an awesome shtick. I always point out, it's good to have shtick sometimes. Like, it's an awesome shtick to put a sefer out where you say, I have 103 questions that are unanswerable. Now you have just guaranteed that your sefer is going to be learned in Batei Medrash for many, many years, because everyone is going to want to try to come up with an answer. So there's a kavod de nichus, a kavod de yeshuva, a kavod de tibritza, right? There are people that published all sorts of svarim answering the. I have a whole bunch of them at home answering the kashas of the kavod de kashyasa. It's good to have a little shtick sometimes. We just had a. He said at a yeshiva meeting, and Rabbi Penner was saying that one of the things that's coming in the day of learning, Rabbi Penner's NCSY background, you know, so like he's like into the shtick a little bit. So he said one of the things they have is like the picture of like Reeds from like 1890, and there's going to be a cutout where you can stick your head in. So one of the Rosh Yeshiva was like, come on. He's like, well, we were going to have photo booths with the Rosh Yeshiva taking pictures with you, but we thought that would be beside the Rosh Yeshiva. And he's like, come on. But okay, you got to have a little stick. So anyway, I'm not sure what I feel about it. But so we have these types of chatzitza. So you have that. Okay, that's stama. An interesting discussion in the Achronim. When you say that something's a rubo shein or makbid, once the rabbanon make it apostle, does it become a rubo makbid? A mil, it's chatzitza midaraisa. And does that not relate to the machlokas tos in the round at the beginning of the sukkah? Okay, good lamdas. Now the Rama adds lichat chila sifal lichat chila. Lo titbol afilu bedvarim she'enon chodsin. Gzeira to dvarim chodsin. Rama says a gaval de kachinish. You have a Gemara befeish where the Gemara says we are gozer and rubu she'enon makbid. We're gozer and amir makbid. The Gemara asks, why are we even gozer and amir she'enon makbid? And the Gemara says he gufa gzeira va na mekum mikzav gzeira l'gzeira. We're not authorized to make such a gzeira. It would be a violation of gzeira l'gzeira. You know, gzeira l'gzeira is not just something that the Rabbanan didn't do. It's that there are limits to how many surim the Rabbanan can add on. They're not allowed to make a gzeira l'gzeira. Comes along the Ramah and he says, okay, but I'll make one. You know, what's going on? How could the Ramah say that even something it's not a chatzitza, even on the Rabbanan level, a miyu, chain of matvis, we're knowing not to be tovel afilu dvarim she'enu chodesin. That you have the right to make such a minhag. It's against the Gemara. So the Taz and Sivkat and Dalad writes, Avul b'mi yaveinu makbid detati l'tivuz l'gozu klad av gzera l'gzera, it's halfway through the Taz. And he says, v'hadu kos rama achar kach gzera otu dvar machotzim v'haynu afilu b'miut hasam kamer l'chadchila avul yab l'gozu gzera l'gzera. The Gemara, when it asked, why don't we make a gzera that even a miyut she'enu makbid shvi chatzitza, the Gemara was asking, why don't we make a gzera that should be a pasul l'tivila, that even after the fact, it should be a pasul l'tivila. So the Gemara says, no, we can't make such a gzera. But l'chadchila, you could say whatever you want, right? L'chadchila, you could tell a woman to dunk 1,000 times if you want, right? Meaning you could tell, right? The only thing we're not authorized to do is to make a gzera where we're going to invalidate the tevila, where the woman comes back from the mitzvah and we're going to say, go again, no good. That's what we're not authorized to do. So it says the Taz, and that's a pashup shatlacha, right? It says the Taz, that we're not making a gzeira over here. We're just saying l'chadchila, try to get rid of all chatzitzos. But that's not against what the Gemara said. The Gemara only said you're not allowed to make a gzeira l'gzeira. The Bir Agra and Sifkat and Dalid references something, but it's not abundantly clear what he means. Ayin sof perek zayin de babakama pei beis amad aleph. What happens babakama pei beis? That's where you have all the takanos Ezra. So one of the takanas says was very relevant to chatzitza. We have the takana of chafifa, of combing the hair before tevila. That's one of the takanas Ezra that's very relevant in this context. So he says, look in Baba Kama, ubetolso sham dibra maskul v'shetehe. So now you got to do some some investigative research. What in the world did the Gra mean by that? Right? What's he pointing you, dafka on this spot, on this Ramah, he's pointing you to Baba Kama. So Rav Vazner explains, Damrinan Hasam, Demidaraisa Sagi Biyuna Bialma. That over there the Gemara says that on a Daraisa level, before a woman goes to the mikvah, all she needs to do is give herself a look over, look at her body, see that there's nothing there, go right in. The Ezra Tikein Chafifa. But Ezra is Masake, and that she has to comb her hair as well. But Tos Kos Vashem Rabbeinu Tam, so Tos Kos Rabbeinu Tam, Demidina, the Gemara, Hachafifa Rak Besear, Velo Besharaguf. That midir of the Gemara, the chafifa is only on the hair. There's no bathing the body, rinsing the body, washing the body. It's just cleaning and combing the hair. Raksha achshav machmir lachuf kalaguf. But it's nowadays that we're machmir about the chafifa on the entire body. Ukanire pireish hagra the kivin the mayrish hagvar ina b'kalaguf v'lo matza. That the gra must be touching up as follows. That we're talking about a case where the woman did her chiyuv daraisa. She was ma'ayin b'kalaguf, and you know what she found? Nothing. There was no problem. Va'afal pikein machmirim afilu b'chatzitza kolshu sheyared al yedei ha'chafifa muchach delchadchila nisarim gam b'masha eno chutzitz. If she looks at her body and there's nothing there, what is this takanas chafifa? So he's saying the ikar takanas chafifa must be for things that aren't real chatzitzas, for fake chatzitzas, because all the real chatzitzas she would have noticed. Because if it's covering the majority of her body, she would have noticed when she looks at her body, right? There's no way a woman's wearing full scuba gear or is wearing a wedding gown and looks and is like, no, I don't see anything. You know, of course she would see it. It's impossible that she doesn't notice that it covers the robe of the body. And if she's machmin about it, then of course she notices it. It's bothering her. It's something she's machmin about. So it must be that if she was ma'ayin begufa and didn't see anything, what kind of chatzitza are we dealing with? A miyut she'ein o matbid. And yet, Ezra was still misakein to be chafavis besara. This dovetails nicely with the Taz. Meaning, the Taz is saying why the Rabbanan were allowed to make such a din. Why the Rabbanan was allowed to make such a din. He's allowed to make such a din because it's only l'chadchila. The Gra's explaining, where did he get the idea to make such a din from? Where does it come from? So the Gra says, yeah, that's the way Tosel seems to understand the Sugim Bamakam Pei Beis, that you've already taken care of all your chatzitzes midaraisa and midarabanan, and the only left, and still we require a chafifa just to get rid of everything, just to get rid of even the tiniest things. The simplest pshat is probably none of those things, right? The simplest pshat of why the Rama is able to make such a gzera is we just don't want to leave it up to women to determine what's called makbid and what's called eino makbid. So we just assume the chachila, everything is makbid. Right? Meaning, it's not against the Gemara, it's just that we can't trust that everybody's always going to ask a shayla. So we don't want to leave it up to people to make a judgment call. You know, alternatively, or not even alternatively, meaning in more detail, Rav Vazner suggests that since things can be considered makbid, even when you personally aren't makbid, right? If Rova Olam is makbid, but you're not makbid, that's also called makbid. So then it's really dangerous to leave it up to each and every person to decide what's makbid and what's not. Because she might decide, well, I'm not makbid, so it's not makbid. But the halacha might say it is makbid, because if most people are makbid, then it has halachic status of makbid. So that's the pashtus as to why we do that. Rav Shach has a different explanation, which we'll get to later. Yeah.
I think there are two different explanations for why for that minhag, and neither of them are the Gra. I think the Ran says that it's because you want to do a really good job with Ian, and the Tosfos says that it's because you want to be choshish for the shikos that say that it's kol aguf, the chafif is kol aguf. Neither of those are there. Meaning, so then the Rama would be against.
Pashas and Sakhanas Chafiv is because of knots in the hair that you won't notice when you're not eating at the goof. And still, that would be a mir, right? And that could be a mir and a makbid. But you're not going to notice by looking. You need to, in a chinami.
So the Rama would be going.
Meaning, the way.
So the Gra, I'm asking.
Yeah.
The Gra, he would be going against.
Yeah, Lechara. Yeah. The Sharidur assumes that this minag includes loose-fitting clothing that would otherwise not be a chatzitza. Meaning, one could have argued that this minag of the Ramah to remove every meal chain or makbid is, at least when something adheres to your body. Right? If a woman, let's say, has a speck of nail polish, she just can't quite get that last little speck off. So that's a meal chain or makbid, because normally she wouldn't care. She wouldn't be makbid about it. It's only because of the tevila that she's so worried to try to get it off. So generally, we assume Rabbi Willig used to tell us that when you get a call from the mikvah, as a rav, when you get a call and they say, "Oh, we think we have a chatzitza shayla," if they use the word speck, then you know that it's fine. He says a speck of nail polish means that it's a mishena makbid. It's just a teeny tiny amount. So if you have, I would say, that's the minhag of the Ramah, to try to remove that also if you can. To try to remove that if you can. But I would think to go in a loose robe, right, like the way we do gerus, where a woman goes in a loose robe, but there's nothing adhering to her skin at all. Meaning it's just, so that's not even part of the minhag of the Ramah. It's not a chatzitza at all. Meaning that's no different than being in a room that has walls. The walls aren't touching me. There's no issue. So she's wearing a loose robe. It's not the water gets underneath it. It's not an issue at all, I would have thought. But if you look in the Shari Dura, he seems to assume that this includes even loose fitting clothing, which sometimes we have to be makel on this minhag of the Rama, if need be. Meaning, if a woman, we'll discuss going to the mikveh at the beach and things like that, sometimes we may need to be makel. That's certainly for geirus, we're makel on this. Because what's the other option? You can't have a beis din in a room when a woman is not dressed, so it's not shaykh. And we're not totally makel, because once the beis din leaves, then she takes off the robe in front of the mikveh lady and does the tefillah again. So we do the best we can on both ends, right? But Chachmas Adam points out that shasat chak kedivadami. So if it's very hard to remove, then we'd allow b'shasat chak, since we'd be machshir b'dieved. Meaning, since it's true that the Ramah's chumra of removing every last little thing is only a chumra l'chachila, but b'dieved would be kasher, so we know shasat chak kedivadami. So if you have a major shasat chak, you can be makel. So most commonly, women ask that they got nail extensions or gel manicure. That's the thing. So gel manicure is that they get like this their real nails are kind of gross and short and whatever. So they get this like really fancy, you know, looking thing that sticks on, and like you can't take it off if you had a, you know, whatever. You can have a chainsaw, won't take the thing off. You know, it's like they stick it on really, really well. So can she go to the mikvah like that? So she's Ashkenazi, l'chachila, no. L'chachila, the Rama says no. But what's she supposed to do? She already has it on. She can't get it off. So shasadcha could be avadami. Could be that you could be mekel. Obviously, an Ashkenazi woman should plan ahead and think, wait a second, how long does this stuff stay on? And if it stays on super long, then I should not get this gel manicure. But if she had no idea, she just knows that all of her friends get gel manicures and it looks so pretty, and at her best friend's wedding, she'd be embarrassed if, we'll go back at the best friend's wedding, she'd be embarrassed if, you know, all the other nine best friends, or 900 best friends, they're all going to have the gel manicure, and she's not going to have a gel manicure. So she didn't know, and then she, as she's preparing for the mix, she's like, oh no, what's going to be? So then maybe there's room to be made.
When she is the cause of it being a shasachak, we still say it's a shasachak.
If she did it lahachis, then it would be a bigger problem. But she didn't know. She got most often she had no idea. But a lot of times women will call and ask before they get it. See, don't do it. You know, if you're pregnant, you get a gel manicure. You know, you're pretty safe for a while. But but otherwise, not a great idea. And if a rav has to be mekel, the mikvah won't let her in, usually. Meaning unless that rav is in control of the mikvah. Because an Ashkenazi mikvah is not going to let a woman go in with a manicure into the mikvah. Now, if it's a perfect manicure, it's a miyushay namah, because she's perfectly happy with the way the nails look. Unless it's like a weird color that's only appropriate in certain contexts and not in others, you know. Okay, then you can have like that also. But if it's like a more sedate kind of color that's not offensive to any social setting, So then it could be that it's a miyut she'ino makbid, and if it's miyut she'ino makbid, technically it's not a chatzitza. But even if a rav wants to paskin that way, unless he controls the mikvah probably has policies that they're not going to let her in. So whenever I once had to deal with this, where a woman wasn't going to go to the mikvah otherwise, like it was really it was a shasav chak, and you know it's a difficult question whenever you have someone that says something like that. They said, I'm not going to go to the mikvah. I'm not going to go to the mikvah if you don't let me. So what do you do over there? Do you just say, okay, halitera l'rosh v'yamos, you know? Do what you want, but we're not changing the halacha for you, right? Like, Will is lying for our salvation, right? Or do you say, this is a nisr karis for her husband, and she's serious, it's not a bluff, she's really not going to go to the mikvah. So then maybe you'll send her to a Sephardi mikvah. The Sephardi mikvah won't give her a hard time, because it's a miyushay namak, so they'll have an easier time with it. So then that's probably better than not going to, so that's a judgment call. It's actually a topic of Tamin Halachashir today, right? If you give a hashkacha in a restaurant, but the restaurant has two kitchens, it produces milchik food and fleshik food, and they serve whatever you order to the customers. So half the customers order milchik and fleshik and eat it together. But is it better than not having hashkacha? Or a hashkacha in a restaurant, it's open on Shabbos. So it's open on Shabbos, all sorts of chil Shabbos going on there. People are coming on Shabbos that are Jewish people that are buying on Shabbos. So can you give a hashkacha to a restaurant that's open on Shabbos? Or a sports bar? Or like, where do you draw the line, right? Meaning, at some point you say, okay, look, I'm not everybody's mommy and tati. I can't tell them how to behave, you know, with everything they do. You know, maybe I don't think going out to restaurants is a nice thing to do anyway. Maybe I just think that Jews should be much more simple and shouldn't go out for fancy dining. And what if the restaurant serves a hamburger that costs $1,000? Right? So can you not give a shkacha on it because they're serving a hamburger that costs $1,000 and that's grotesque? Right? So it's a big shame. Okay, that's very simple. But chatzitza, right? So can you send a woman to the mikvah like that? Okay. Now the discussion. We'll turn the discussion a little bit to hairs. How we cheshben hair into the measurements of chatzitza, meaning the Gemara has a drasha that es habasar es hatafa lebasara, which is l'rabos es haseya. That Rachatz es b'saru b'mayim, the Gemara says that the es is l'rabos es haseyer, that not only is there a chatzitza on the actual skin, on a person's actual flesh, that a chatzitza on the hair is also problematic, is also a chatzitza. So the question is hair as a unit its own cheshbon, or when we say es, l'rabos es haseir, that hair is just part of the body, and we measure majority by majority of the body. So the Gemara in Nida Samach Zayin has this drasha, right? The Gemara says that Rama Rabba Rechana Nima Achas Kshura Chotzetzes Shalosh Einun Chotzos Shtayim Ein Yodeya. That Rabba Rechana says that if you have one hair that's knotted on itself, then that could be really tightly tied, and that's Chatzitza. If you have three hairs, then it's not a Chatzitza, because they're probably loose enough that water can get in between. Shtayim Ein Yodeya. Don't know what the status is with two hairs, if that's tight enough that there's not going to be any water in between, it's going to be a chatzitza. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein lanu ela achas. That only one hair is problematic, more than one hair is not problematic. So the Rambam pasuks like Rabbi Yochanan, that only one knotted hair is a chatzitza, and Beis Yosef points out that the Ram, the Rashban, Torah Sabayis, Rabbi Yeruchim, all pasuks like Rabbi Bechana, that two hairs might also be a chatzitza. So the Rambam writes, Shtei Saros, this is Rambam, Mikvos Beis Tezvav, Shtei Saros, a yeser. Two hairs are not another chatzitza. Because water will get in between them. But if you have one hair that's knotted on itself, then that's chatzitza. Provided that you're makbid. Avalmeno makbid aleha, alotvila achia rove se'oro kosher. If you're not makbid on it, then the tvila counts unless you have rove of your hair tied up. Nima bifnei atzma, each hair on its own. Kazeh horu hagaonim. That is shitas hagaonim. So the gaonim hold that rove is determined by rove hair. Not that we look at rove body and hair is just part of the body. That hair is an independent, you measure the hair independently. So if rove of the hair has a chatzitza, that's a chatzitza midaraisa. The Rush seems to, that's why, by the way, at the mikveh, when they provide conditioner, so they typically provide like a cheap, junky conditioner, because the kunz of conditioner is that it stays in the hair. So it makes like this silky film on the hair to make it smooth, you know, like you ever see like commercials for like shampoo and conditioner? Say your hair will have more body and whatever. What does it mean? Hair is hair. How does it have more? So, okay, some of it is just advertising, but some of it is because it's not really all your hair. You know, when you put stuff on your hair, so then it will look like the stuff. So so conditioner leaves something on it. So if you have something that leaves so much, that it's actually a robe, that it's actually robe of the hair, so then that's really a problem. So,
how's that different than spray tip?
Because it comes off. You could scrape it right off, I think. Your hands will be like, I think, I don't know. I don't use such fancy conditioner. So the Ram quotes Shittas HaGaon. So Shittas HaGaonim is that rove of the hair itself is a chatzitza midaraisa. So the Rush seems to assume this way also, because the Rush describes Nima Achas Chotzetzes, he says, Im hayu rove sa'aroseha kshuros kol achas achas levada. The rove of the hair is each individual strand, but rove of the strands of hair have knots in it. So implying that as long as the majority of the hair is knotted, then you consider that a chatzitza. So Shulchan Aruch Sifhei, so first of all, he's passing that two is not a chatzitz like the Rama, and then he is skipping the Rama for a second. V'sa'ara achas shenikshra chatzetzes v'hu shetei makpedes aleha avalim eina makpedes aleha also tvila adshe rov sa'ara kashur nima b'fnei atzma. That most of the hair, meaning Shulchan passing is like the Gaonim. Shevet Alevi quotes a kina sofrin that thinks that that's only when the hair is knotting itself, meaning when the chatzitza is minei ubei. It's from the knotting of the hair. But an external chatzitza on the hair is only going to be a problem if it's rove of the body, which is a big chiddush, right? Meaning what he's suggesting is that, yes, it's true we measure hair independently and we look at rove based on rove of the hair, but that's only when the chatzitza is from the hair itself. But whenever you have an external, a normal chatzitza, like the kind of chatzitza that you could have on the body, so you never have a chatzitza like this on the body, right? Because the body doesn't wrap around itself. It doesn't knot itself. It does, I mean, that's unique to hair. So the whole chiddush, that hair is measured independently, that whole chiddush of the gaonim is only within the unique kind of chatzitza that can only be with hair. But when you're dealing with the kinds of chatzitza that could be anywhere, there's a clump of mud on her arm, so it could be a clump of mud on her hair the same way. So when you're dealing with the kind of chatzitza that could be anywhere on the body, so says the Kinnas Sofrim, then the hair is just part of the body, which l'chor is a huge chiddush. The basis for the chiddush is Gemara Baba Kama Daf Pei Peis, when it describes the need for Takanas Ezra to do chafifa, it says when you do iyune bialma, you're looking because dilma miktar. You have to do chafif because maybe there are knots, which implies that the only problem with hair is that it gets knotted. What do you mean? Maybe it gets knotted. You have to do chafif on there to get rid of dirt, to get rid of other things also. Elamai, that there's a separate din in hair about it being knotted. You have to really get into the weeds a little bit more over here as far as this sheet is concerned, as far as this psak, because how do you measure hair? Meaning, do you measure all body hair and put it together as one unit? Or do you look at each section of hair separately, the Beis HaErva, Beis HaShechi? If a woman has hair there, do you say, we have to look at the rove of each section? Or are the other hairy body parts, you know, just considered part of the body and not considered hair at all? Right? Or do you say that you look at all the hair sections and put them together and rove is determined by rove of that? So that's discussed by the Sidrei Tara, he quotes a Prisha. He's not sure. Sidrei Tara leaves it, it's a Masupuk. It also needs to be analyzed based on whether the majority is measured by the surface area or by the number of hairs. Meaning, how could a woman, majority, if she has long hair, majority of her hair is knotted? Even if the majority of her hairs are knotted, is the majority of her hair knotted? Right? Do you measure, you know, the number of hairs or the length of the hair? Right, this is the issue when people rely on Ramesh's tefach. Right, women cover their hair, like the halacha says. So Ramesh has a kula that you're allowed to be megala up until the tefach. Right, you're allowed to be megala up until the tefach. So, what does that mean? So Ramesh says, well, tefach is this much. So if you're going a longer span than the length of a tefach, so you can thin it out, right? So you can go two fingers width across the span of the forehead. I mean, if you're going like that, you're going like a headband span of the forehead, so you go two fingers width of hair across the span of the forehead. Good, so you can expose that. Let's say she's wearing a tichel, she can have it a little bit up, like my yarmulke, right? So it's covering, you know, leaving some hair, something like that, right? But what if she has really long hair and she wants to pull out that hair and pull it over the sheitel? Right, which is what women often want to do because then it looks much more natural, right? So she'll pull out all that hair, right? She's got like 8-inch long hair that she's going to pull out, you know, this much. So altogether, it's way more than a tefach. So is the tefach measured by, you know, the roots, or is the tefach measured by the full length of the hair? So you have a similar discussion over here when it comes to rove of the hair, having a chatzitza. The Sfasemis points this out, that having knots in each hair shouldn't be a rove, because the majority of the length of the hair doesn't have a chatzitza. He leaves it as a sarachiv. Avni Nezer thinks that each hair has to be knotted the majority of the way. Which, that's crazy, right? Meaning that in order for it to be rove, each hair has to have multiple knots in it, like dreadlocks. Right? That would be a chatzitza. Right? So if you have someone who has dreadlocks, that was Rabbi Reis has a tshuva in his sefer about that. And he had a gayrus candidate who had dreadlocks. So you know how dreadlocks work?
You just like shave off the hair.
Yeah, you can't undo it. You shave it off and it grows back, you know, normally. But there's no, it's either shave bald or you keep them. So now what? So how do you MacGyver someone who has dreadlocks? Maybe we'll discuss that tshuva. It's a fascinating tshuva Rabbi Reis wrote. We once had whenever you have a black gayrus candidate, an African American gayrus candidate, so you have these kinds of shaylas because the makeup of the hair is different; it's frizzier hair. So, like we I remember with Magyar woman, we gave her the instructions before you come to the gayrus. You know, you're gonna have to take it before your tovel. You're gonna have to take a shower and wash your hair really well. She's like, you don't want me to do that. So why not? She said, if I wash my hair right then at the mikvah, my hair will be clumpy as one, like, I mean, it's all going to, I don't know exactly the matzias of how it works. She says, but it's a process. Meaning it's like an hour after my shower that, you know, whenever I wash my hair, it takes like an hour to get my hair not to be a clump of knots. Right? So he said, okay, so shower the night before. So we were makel on that. But she didn't have dreadlocks. Dreadlocks is a bigger problem. But anyway, so according to the Sfasemnes, the only time you can have a chatzitza midaraisa on hair, or even a chatzitza midarabanan if it's a no makbid, would be if a woman has dreadlocks, right? Or if a woman is African American and took a shower and didn't do whatever needs to be done. Anyway, all that is shittas agonim. Shittas agonim is that you measure the hair independently. Comes along the Rambam. The Yerali, after quoting the Gaon, the Yerali, she'aro shel adam kegufa hu chashuv l'nitvila. Person's hair is like his guf. Ve'enu kegufa b'fnei atzmo, kedei shenomer rov ha'seir. Elaf lisha kol seir rosh ha'kosher nima nima. Imenu makbar alav al slo tvila. Elam ken itztarif l'chol tzitz acher al gufo kemo shebiarnu. That the hair is part of the body. So it's that if, let's say, your body is only 49% of the body has a chatzitz on it, but the hair has chatzitz on it, and that pushes the full surface area of the body to 51%, that's a chatzitz midaraisa. Right? That's what the Rambam says. So Prescrub just points out that they're arguing, Haradarshan es hatafal basaro. Is it teaching that the seyar is part of the body? Or that just like you need tevila on the body, you also have a separate din that you need tevila on the seyar. There are different areas of halacha where hair is considered part of the body, and areas where it's not considered to be part of the body. The Gemara Bava Kamma sounds like the Gaonin, that the hair is measured separately, because it talks about the need for chafifa and says dilma miktar, that the concern is for knots in the hair, even after looking at the rest of the body. So the implication is that you could have a chatzitz in your hair even after you've looked at the rest of your body and there's nothing there. The Me'iri has a third shita. The Me'iri, Neiriv and Daftal. So again, we have the Gaonim that say the hair is measured independently. The Ram says the hair is just part of the body. Comes along the Me'iri and Erevin Daftal. And the Me'iri says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the Me'iri says the key line is, he talks about the hair, it's also actually rov sa'aros kshur nechad echad, that if most of the hair, like the Gaonim, right, that most of the hair alone is enough for a chatzitza, then he adds in v'chein b'shar mekomos rov ha'ever, that the hair is like a limb of the body and therefore we measure rov based on the hair, and v'chein by every other limb of the body. Rov doesn't mean rov of the body, rov means rov of each and every aver of the person's body. Ramach Ivarim of a person's body, majority of any one of those Ramach Ivarim is a rov. Ooh. We said before, you never have a rubo sheda makbid, and you never have a rubo amakbid. According to the Me'iri, yes, you do. Because to find something that covers a band-aid is a rubo amakbid. It's chatzitz midaraisa, according to the Me'iri. If you have a band-aid on, let's say you cut your pinky, you have a band-aid on your pinky, so your pinky has three avarim, right? Basu gidin vatzamos makes up an aver. So there's the aver from here to here, from there to there, from there to there, but each knuckle, it's a different aver in terms of the cheshmen of ramach avarim. So you can very easily have a rovu makvid or a rov sheinu makvid. Rav Shachtu said, that's what the Ramah must have meant. When the Ramah says that we're nohei to remove even things that aren't a chatzitza, he's saying mechoshish l'dasa mi'ir, that since a very tiny amount can be a rov, according to the Me'iri, so we just remove everything. Interesting. Now in Sukkah Davav Beis, Rashi writes that rubo means rov sa'aro. So Tosfos understands what Rashi is telling us is that the dinim of rov u'makbid, there's a fourth shita, if it exists, but the way Tosfos understands Rashi, fourth shita, all the dinim of rov u'makbid are only about the hair. Because when the Gemara talks about rov u'makbid, all of a sudden Rashi starts talking about hair. Who's anything about hair? Rov u'makbid is the dinim in chatzitz in general. So Tosfos says, Rashi must understand that the dinim of rov u'makbid are only on the hair. As far as the rest of the body, chatzitz of any size, regardless of whether your makbid is a problem midaraisa. That would also explain the Rambam. Right? If that's what Rashi means. Tosfos points out that Rashi's wrong, meaning his understanding of Rashi, of what Rashi means, can't be correct, because the Gemara Yivam Safayin Ches discusses how the Tevila Se'im can work for the Vlad. And the Gemara says that it should work, because the baby isn't makbid about the mother. So it should work on a Daraisa level. Ooh, but wait a second. According to, he's assuming makbid applies on the body, right? Baby doesn't even have any hair. Makbid applies on the body. So the Gemara answers over there that there are no dinim of makbid when it's kulo, just when it's ruba, but whatever. The Ritva assumes that Rashi is saying like the Gaon, and that Rashi is not really saying this wild chiddush that Tosfos thinks he's saying. He's just saying like the Gaon, that rov umakbid is measured independently by seyar, then there's the rest of the Gaon. So the mice, there are four sheets of Rishon, right? You have the Gaon that say that we measure hair independent of the rest of the body, but then you have to really figure out what rov seyar even looks like. Is that rov, is that only when you have dreadlocks, or is that like rove of the strands of hair are knotted, which is the mashmos of all the Rishonim. Then you have the sheet of the Rambam, that the hair is just part of the body, so it gets measured together with the rest of the body. Then you have the sheet of the Meiri, that each aver gets measured independently. And then you have what might be Shitas Rashi, the way Tosfos understands Shitas Rashi, that the whole inyan of Rubo Makbid is only an inyan vis-a-vis hair. It's not an inyan about anything else. So when it comes to anything else, anything is going to be a chatzitza. But again, lahalacha, we pass like the Gaonim. The Shulchan Aruch passes like the Gaonim. So it doesn't leave much, much room for discussion. Okay, so, Be'ez Hashem, yeah?
Why isn't he chodesh for the Rashi as much as the Irin?
Because it's not what Rashi really meant, probably. I mean, probably tells him, misunderstood Rashi, probably the Ritva is correct in what Rashi means. Yeah, so our next year is going to be a week, no, it's going to be, yeah, it's a week from today. It's going to be Monday. So Chazar week on Kuf Tzadi Vav, Kuf Tzadi Zayin, Bezras Hashem, Bechina, Monday, and we'll have Shir Monday. We'll discuss at that time. We'll get into Beis HaSkarim and the Dinim therein. Okay.
Thank you.